So, we are beginning the new head of the year, first class after Nissan. Appropriate that this is an unofficial Beron Chanukah Sabayis. And the way Chanukah Sabayis is made is Dafka through learning Taino. And it's mamash connected to the theme. We're going back to the halachas of davening. So we learn a halacha and we try to get some sort of inner understanding and inspiration from the halacha. We're going to be learning about the rules regarding adding parts in our prayers. Us adding our own tefillah in the affixed tefillah. So there's many details about it. We'll learn about it. But let's quickly recap a good Hasidic intro, which will make us appreciate these halachas better. And that's how it's connected to a Chanukah Sabayis, and that's how it's connected to this time of the year. Okay. The mitzvah of davening is a biblical mitzvah. The text and times is a rabbinic mitzvah. That means Hashem wants for us to connect to Him through verbal prayer. And every word is meduyak. Jews do not celebrate a moment of silence. It's a non-Jewish thing. Sometimes, to be respectful to others, if a non-Jewish entity will do it, or if a Jew that's not aware of Yiddishkeit, sometimes they copy it and they do it. There's nothing inherently wrong with it. Parenthetically, when the Rebbe made the whole campaign of having a moment of silence in public schools, that will be very appropriate because public schools in America do not allow God to be brought in. So the Rebbe wanted to bring in God to the limit of the law, which is make a moment of silence, and if you don't believe in anything, think about nothing, or think about being nice, or think about whatever you want to, but at least afford most of the people who still say they believe in God a moment to think about God. End of parentheses. Prayer, midoraisa, means to verbally connect to God. And the verbal connection can be by thinking, by asking, by singing. It's a verbal connection to God without a specific text, without a specific time. This is a mitzvah from the Torah. And the Chachamim, primarily the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, which was the body of rabbis that lived through the transition period of Golus Bavel and the building of the Second Temple, they instituted the text and the time for prayers. They never fully institutionalized an exact text. If they would have done so, if they would have written a siddur, then we would not have had today many Siddurim. There's one Mishnayis, there isn't an Ashkenazi Mishnayis and a Sephardi Mishnayis. There's one Gemara. That means that throughout much, much later generations, there were more divergences. Emes. Like the Shulchan Aruch, you have Mechaber Ramah. But in that era, there was most of the Jews were living together. Sadly, they were living in Bavel. Most of the Jews, even though they were living in Bavel, but there was a very strong connection between the Jews in Babylonia and the Jews in Israel. There were roads built by the Goyish governments that connected these two countries with wells on the roads. It would be like today, making highways with gas stations and with exits, with Motel Sixes. In other words, it was made in a way where the communities were able to travel and they were therefore linked, even though in those days communication was not like now. It was considered one larger community, and everything was the same. They did institutionalize a certain formula, certain rules. The rules, everyone has the same. So the general rules are that we begin by praising God, then asking, then thanking, dafka that way. Biblically, if I want to ask, I can ask. Midrabanan, before you ask God, praise God. It's called blessings of praise, blessings of requests, blessings of thanksgiving. Another parenthesis, when you think about thanksgiving, for me, what comes in my mind is to say thank you. Moedem anachnu lach is thank you. Sim Shalem, to most of us, doesn't look like a thanksgiving. It looks like another request. So that's a good question. We'll leave that for another time. But Sim Shalem is part of thanking.
It's like a sandwich approach before, like you tell your kids like a request. Mamish. You say something before, Mamish. Then after you say something nice.
And you praise them. Right. Don't laugh. That's taka, that's how communication should be between people. That means if I want to ask of you something, Giving a compliment is the way. Give a compliment, make the ask, and thank. And the thank has to be unconditional. Thanking means not I thank you because I know you're going to do it. No.
Regardless.
I thank you regardless. And if you take it, mean it, the chances are, if that person feels that they're being thanked regardless, they'll have a bigger appetite to help you. The moment the other person feels that they're only being thanked or only praised if...
Thanks in advance because I know you're going
to
do it.
That's right. That's not the thanks we give to God. That's what we're really telling God. We're saying we have all these requests, but moitem anachnu lach for as is the way it is.
It's so interesting. I just want to put this. I got an email from my husband yesterday. He works for the U.S. Air Force. A top guy in the Air Force on the base sent this exact message when you speak to someone.
How to communicate.
How to communicate. Mamish. You should send an email. You should send a greeting.
There you go.
Yeah.
But by us, it's not a greeting.
No,
so let's stick to us.
No, but it was
our concept. It's shvach.
Yeah.
Bakasha hoida. Then they went into more detail. Again, they didn't write the exact text. The exact text was written many years later. Especially during the times of the Second Temple, people were more familiar with Hebrew. And it's important to speak to Hashem in proper grammar. But people knew the language better. And they gave 12 specific requests. The 12 specific requests are divided themselves into two. The first six are mamish personal, and the other six are collective, community requests, or Jewish people requests. Like the requests for the redemption, we have two requests for the redemption in the Shemoneh Esrei. We have see our impoverished state, see my anguish. And we end with the words Goel Yisrael, Goel Yisrael. We speak about Geula. But here I'm speaking to God about my personal redemption. And then you have Esemach, Yerushalayim Mircha, you have, that's redemption for the Jewish people. Different. It means until Tekah B'Shefer Gadol, it's all personal. I'm asking for personal wisdom. I'm asking for personal return, for personal forgiveness, for personal redemption, for personal health, and for personal parnasa. Mamash. These are the six.
Can you say the six again? Are you recording?
Well, it doesn't matter, but Nachmal, you're asking, think about the Shemoneh Esrei. You're asking for wisdom, and for understanding, personal, you're asking for the movement of tshuva, that there should be an inner tshuva movement within me. There should be a forgiveness, God to me, me to me, me to others. There should be a personal redemption.
What's redemption?
Redemption is geula. That means that we are all mamish stuck in certain areas, and we need to be redeemed. We need to be freed. Like we are, all of us are in some sort of spiritual jail. Every person at every time by different things. When I say spiritual, it can be anything not physical. It can be emotional. It can be psychological. It can be mamish very ruch music. Whatever it is, everyone is stuck. And it's good to know that some of me is mamish in jail. Mm-hmm. And when I'm in jail, I need someone else to free me. And I'm asking God to free me. And then we're asking God for health. And we're asking God for a parnasa. Not because parnassa is not important, but from the ones that we mentioned, it's very important, but it's even more important is health. Ask any person who chas v'shalom, God forbid, they have a health challenge, they say, halavai, I should be worried back with parnassa. Not because they have it, because the health is worse. And more than that is inner jail. A person who's in jail, begashmias. We should never know of that. It's a horrible thing.
Right.
And beruchnias, we are in jail in certain areas, and we need to be free.
So where is the...
I'm going backwards now. What's your question?
No, what is Ruchnius?
So where is it in the prayer? What is it?
Re'eino v'anyinu. V'riva riveinu u'ge'oleinu. U'ge'ula. U'ge'oleinu l'man shemecha.
That's the ge'ula, but where is the freedom of jail?
That's ge'ula.
Same.
I'm saying the ge'ula is a personal ge'ula. Because in the next six blessings, we're asking more for general. As samach David avdecha, build Yerushalayim. That's
the
general goal.
That's
a collective goal. The collective goal will happen with the building of the Temple Mount. Yerushalayim, just to make it clear, Yerushalayim in the prayers doesn't refer to what we call Jerusalem at all. At all. Minimally the Old City, mainly Harabayit. Harabayit Bechlal we don't have. And even the what's called now the Jewish quarter.
Yeah.
Dafke, a quarter. Yeah, that means we don't even have the Reiv of it. And we have no rights in that. It's dangerous and we have no rights there. And we have no rights to go to Harabayas, and we have no rights to build a temple. We don't have any of that yet. Okay. So anyways, these are the six personal. The six, then with the six collective, as the prayer has it. Six collective is all connected to the redemption, all of it. the sounding of the great shofar, whatever that's going to be, whether it's going to be a physical sounding of the shofar or some sort of event that's going to be heard throughout the world. And everyone will understand that this is a wake-up call, whatever the shofar is going to be. And as the order, then justice will come back. Okay. And this is what they enacted. Now, what happened before they enacted all this? Why did they only wake up, so to say, when we were building the second temple during that era? Why didn't they come along before and already formalize the prayer? I just wanted to close the text. They never wrote it siddur. Because when they told me I got to go through these steps, so there are three praises and there are 12 requests, and then there's going to be three thanksgivings, people more or less on their own were able to formulate that mini, I got to speak about health, but how am I going to ask God for health? You davened in your words, I davened in my words, which was fine.
Can you say who they are again?
The Anshei Knesset Hagdola. The they did not live mamish at the same time. The they never got together in a room together. There was never 120 rabbis of them. They didn't live at the same time. When they gathered, there were 70 or 71. That was the maximum number. But the Anshei Knesset Hagdola are rabbis who lived in a period over around 100 years. And the ones who were the members of the Sanhedrin during that era, which includes Mardukhai, the last head was Ezra. And we give a lot of credit to the final one. Ezra, the counter, or the scribe. The word cipher doesn't only mean the scribe. Ezra, the counter.
We know it in English. Huh?
It's a bad translation. No, it's more the counter because he counted the letters in the Torah. Mm-hmm. That means, not that he did the counting, he put them in there. He decided what's in and what's out. What is part of Tanakh, what's not part of Tanakh. So now we only have 19 books aside of the 5 books of Moses in the Tanakh. Who decided that it should be those 19? There were hundreds of books. He did. He closed the Tanakh, and he was the one that closed all of the enactments of the Anshei Knesset Hagdola, which were many, including the time. Cloning means he finalized it. He banged the gavel. That's the expression over here. That's the way it's going to be. Now, why was this not there before? Why didn't they come and teach us these 12 requests and the Shemona Esrei before? I'm not saying that they didn't say it before. There's a medrash that says that Avraham Avinu davened Shemona Esrei the way we davened. Benusach Chabad. I'm just kidding. I don't know. but it's not that we didn't mamash invent it, but it was not known. It was certainly not taught. It wasn't important. It only became important when we went into exile into Bavel and when we built the second temple. Why? So here's an akuda, and Hasidus speaks a lot about it. Let's divide prayer into two parts. The outer part, the inner part. The outer part is to ask God for our requests. And like you said, it has to be sandwiched. That's seichel. In other words, it's not that much about praising and about thanking. I'm asking God for my requests, and the proper way of asking is praise, ask, and thank, but it's about asking God for requests. Let's speak about that. Why is it important for a Jew to ask of God for his or her requests when we mamish believe that God knows what I need?
Right, to connect.
Before, no, so there's the inner meaning to connect. Before I come to the inner meaning.
Because
so let me just back up a second. So the tefillah has an outer part and an inner part. The outer part, the more external part of prayer, is to ask. It's called Bakasha Tzarachav. The inner part of the prayer is to connect to God. Okay, I want to focus now on the outer part. Outer part is, why do we need to ask of God for our requests if God knows what I need? Now, I'm not minimizing your answer, Arunit. Yeah, I am connecting to God. But even without me connecting to God, there was some power in me.
Because
in me asking,
formalizing the word,
yeah,
not just thinking it, which you can think a lot of different thoughts, but once you actually say it, it's out in the world, just like when Hannah was davening for her.
Okay, so very good. So let me say it like this: asking God our requests is based on a premise. It's based on something. There are certain things that if you don't have prior to asking, you would never ask. What's the foundation of asking God your requests? That there is a God.
Mm-hmm.
That God listens to us, that there's at least a chance that God might answer an affirmative. Because many people, first of all, can say they don't believe in God. And in their experience, they don't believe in God. Many people can believe in God, but they can hold that God is not concerned with my little needs. Many people can even conclude that God knows what I need, but God knows what's good for me. God already predetermined what's going to happen for me. And my asking for him to change it is like a child doesn't want to get the shot. He's shouting to the parent, don't bring me to the doctor. No words will affect because the parent is taka doing what's good.
Right.
So if many people believe in that. There are many, I don't know if people believe in this today, but many throughout history, many people believe in a God that's involved. God is good, but God is so much greater than us. Our asking won't change anything. All I'm saying is that prayer is predicated, it's based on many belief systems. I believe in God. I believe that God knows what I need. I believe that God listens to my needs. And I believe that my asking, my needs can make a difference. Now, what sense is there in that? I want to go on this last thing. If God is good and God is almighty, God is not another person. God is not a smarter version of you. God is infinitely greater than us. And teva ha-toiv lo-hated. So it says in the Torah that God's nature is good. God really has no nature. But in the world, God is good inherently. So if God is good, it must mean that everything that's happening is good. So if everything that's happening that's good, I should pray to myself that I should be open to accepting reality because this is what's really good somehow. But we're not praying to ourselves. We're asking for God when someone is sick. God heal the sick. What do you think God made someone sick because of cruelty?
But God wants our prayers.
What does it mean? I'm speaking about not connection. I'm not praise, but asking. We're asking for changes to happen. Someone has no parnasa, aside of making an effort, we're asking for God to bless those efforts. Why? Why didn't God bless those efforts until now? Because the person is unworthy, so the person is not worthy. Or because it's for the better of the person, so you're asking for God to do something bad. If God is doing something good, these are the classical questions. The word. So the Hasidus has a certain way of wording the answer. And the answer is like this. First of all, we spoke about this a lot when it comes to Amunah and Bitachon. It's a big thing about Bitachon that the Rebbe used to celebrate this. The Rebbe did not make this up. The Rebbe celebrated a work from a great rabbi called Rabbeinu Bachaya, or Rabbeinu Bachya, that wrote a book called Chovas HaLevavos, The Duties of the Heart. There are certain mitzvahs that are not of what I need to do, but there are mitzvahs of what I need to feel. And he has a whole treatise on Bitachon. And the Nakuda is, first of all, Emuna is a belief. Bitachon is a feeling. Emuna is that I believe in God. Bitachon means I feel safe. Like Bitachon, I feel secure. Big difference. You can believe in God, right? Where we believe in God. But then when there's some sort of danger lurking out there, it takes work for a person to actually feel safe. I believe in God. That's emuna. Bitachon is for me to feel tranquility. If it's from danger, to feel tranquility. If there's something wrong, that I should have bitachon. I'm using the words of the Rabbeinu Bachya. I should feel secure that not only do I believe that God, dafke because God is almighty, God has an agenda, and I have what I think is my agenda. God can merge them both together. So if someone is sick, there's a purpose for that. We're coming to God and we're telling God, listen, I know you have a purpose for that. But dafke, because you're God, you are almighty, you can do it all. You can achieve the same purpose without the person getting sick. Because you're God. And not only do I believe that God could heal a person, and it's not going to hurt God's plan. God can get his desire, and this person should get better. Not only do I believe that God could do it, but there is a mitzvah to rely. I'm counting on God to do it, and I'm counting on God to do it to the point that I already feel good. I feel calm. I feel tranquil. Difficult to get to that emotional place. But that is emunah, and that is bitachon. And if a person has bitachon, the bitachon itself, what does that do? The bitachon itself is the channel through which God changes the reality. That means that if without my bitachon, I was unworthy for that miracle, the proof is that miracle is not in my life. My life is just the way it is. I want for a change to happen. I'm not worthy for the change. This chus habitachon, just this chus habitachon, not me doing tshuva, not relearning more Torah. In the merit of me having bitachin in God, the bitachin itself makes me worthy to receive that miracle. And the last step is, it's important for me to verbalize that bitachin. Because when
verbalize
I...
Verbalize the bitachon or to verbalize the desire?
All of it. In other words, my prayer, I'm giving you the background behind. When you make an ask, there's a lot of stuff behind the ask that it's good to bring up to the surface and speak about. What I'm saying now, everyone has that experience, but most people are not aware of it. Me asking God means that I believe that there is a God, that I believe that God listens, and I believe that God might do what I'm asking. Because if there's no purpose in asking for him to change things, if things are going to be the way they are, I would not ask of him to change. I would ask of God, God, give me the, like the prayer of the AA, which were not made by the sages. That's a prayer.
That
give me the power to surrender. We don't have that in our prayers. We're not asking God, give me the power to surrender. We're asking God, God, change that.
Right.
That person should be well. That person should get parnasa. And it could be me. I can pray for myself. I can pray for myself. I can pray for others. I can pray for all of us. So why my prayer is based on the fact that it could be that God will listen to my prayers. Why didn't God do it until now? So there's many ways of wording it. One way of wording it is because God in his goodness put me the way where I am. My life is, for me, really good. I don't like it. I don't see it. Some parts are painful, but for me it's good. But I'm coming to God and I'm telling God, listen, with through logic, through a system, that's the only way to get to the goodness is through these steps. But you can figure out a new way, only because you're God, because you are Kol Yachol, you are Almighty, and which is also true. But I have to become a Keli to merit that. What's my Keli? The prayer itself, because the fact that I believe that God is able to change reality, that belief itself opens up the actual possibility for God to do it. It creates a new channel. And it's not enough for a Jew to have that feeling or thought in the mind and in the heart. It begins there, but in order to bring it into the world, which is what you were saying, I want this to change the world, not to theoretically change the world. I want there should be an actual change in the world. I have to bring my emuna into the world. How do I do that? Through speech.
That's how the world was created, was through.
Okay, are we good? So it's not only for me to connect. More than that, aside of connecting, even when it comes to asking requests, a Jew believes that through asking God the right way for our needs, my ask could, and if a person would have real bitachon, we have this in the sages, that God will never refuse a prayer. If I would experience that when I daven, my prayers will be answered down here with the real bitachon, that makes the prayers answered down here.
And it's a combination of bitachon and emunah.
It's emunah and bitachon and expressing it the dibur. And expressing it, but that's the channel. Then there's another part of prayer, or inner part of prayer. The inner part of prayer is to be connected to God. Now, to be connected to God, it's not that important that you ask. When you're praising, you're connected. When you're communicating, the connection comes from communication. Like in any relationship, communication is very important for you to have a connection. It doesn't matter even that much what you're communicating.
Yes.
As long as you're communicating. Even when people, at least they're shouting at each other, Baruch Hashem, you say sometimes. Until now, they were ignoring each other. There's many levels. But the fact that I'm talking to God in itself makes God more real to me. Or, in the same thing in different words, it makes me feel more connected to God. God always feels connected to me. Problem is, I don't feel connected to God. So talk to God. You want to feel connected, go out for coffee and talk. But a Jew doesn't take out God for coffee. He talks in the shul with a siddur, or in your home on a siddur. I'm just going back to my question. So the question is, sai when it comes to connecting to God, the inner meaning of prayer. Sai when it comes to verbalizing emunah and bitachon, which becomes the keli, which becomes the channel, right? The tzinor, through which a new level of godliness will come into the world, and that will affect mamish of physical change. All of these things, Artaka, make so much sense. Why did we not have it before? I'm not saying people didn't pray before, but it wasn't formalized, which means that it was possible that a Jew would go by a week and they would never daven.
So it came after the destruction of the first temple.
Very good. Oh, so what happened? So most people overlook something, they get on your path, but then they get tripped up because they think, well, the second temple was built. The second temple did not replace the full temple properly, which means that there was something that Dafka, after the first Beis HaMikdash ended, we lost something, and the prayer is our now mobile temple. What was lost when the temple was destroyed? Well, what is the main function of the temple? Now, here is the jump that we have to get used to. We have to become, Mashiach is about to come.
Right.
The main part of the temple was the avodah of bringing physical sacrifices. Bringing physical sacrifices accomplishes mamish the same thing. Both parts, the inner part and the outer part, mamish. Mamish. Not only that, but the Kahanim in the Beis HaMikdash, during the bringing of the sacrifice, said many portions of the Shemoneh Esrei. The Kahanim said it.
Wait, they both mean of
Emunah and
Bitachon?
Both, the outer part of expressing the Emunah and Bitachon, that God is observing, He's close to us. Not just observing from the heavens. Not only is He observing close to us, but I have a power through my Emunah and Bitachon to open up a new possibility in the world because I'm going to the essence of God, which is infinite, which is almighty. So God figured out a system. Now, if you have a system and I come and I tell you, change your system, you'll kick me out of your house because I'll make a churban in your house. When you have a seder, you need to the people around you, more or less, to support your seder. Everyone needs a seder. God is the only exception. God is almighty. God can make all of this going on a certain path. And God, only God, can make sure that this goes on by using a different system. Something else can happen. Even though, based on reality until now, everything that was there needed to be there. No mistake happened. But I'm telling God, listen, God, the Rebbe used to always use that. That for sure, with all this suffering, there's a reason for it. But since you are almighty, everything that could be accomplished through the suffering, you, God, can accomplish the same thing through another way, through a happy way.
And that's the sacrifices?
That's what we believe in. And they express that through offering God a sacrifice. Today we offer God our words, then they offer God animals. And you should know that there were communal karbanis that were brought on behalf of all of us, that brought blessings in our lives, mamish the way davening does. And since the Kahanim who represented us had real emun and real bitachon, and since not during the times of the Second Temple, where they did the deeds, but they didn't feel it as much as they felt it, but bizman by Yisrishim, they mamish experienced God, they experienced the connection to God.
Whatever
the reasons are. So there was such a strong connection that is davening. That was davening. And then during the times of the first temple, the Chan, go back to Chan, when a person needed something, they went to the temple. They talk it like today, you go to Shul, they went to the temple and they daven. And their words had an effect. Chana had a child. She was not destined to have a child. She was not going to have a child. She, through her prayer, merited to have Shmuel, who was like Moshe and Aaron together in certain aspects. Wow. And that's what she wanted.
But did she only get that child because she offered to give it back to the priesthood? Or we don't know.
I don't know. But she made a deal.
I was wondering
and
about that.
That was her deal. But that's ultimately why we all want what we want. If we would just be in tune, ultimately we want what we want for God.
Mm-hmm.
That whatever it is should be in service of Hashem.
So except the korbanot that they brought, the offerings.
Yes.
That brought daily or brought regularly.
And
we had the korbanot that we brought for thinking and for praying and for other stuff.
No. That was the daily stuff. The daily korbanos that were brought every day, both was the way that we expressed in the world that we have emunah and bitachon in God.
But except that, they also had the prayers of what do I want? And like Hannah wanted.
Just like we prayed, like we began today. From the Torah, it's a mitzvah to pray verbally, but it was never formalized. Meaning, not there was an order. There wasn't this order of 18 blessings. It didn't have to be that way. And there was no times for prayer. The Nusach and the time of prayer was made by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. So the question is, why did they do it then? if there's a need for it, there should have been a need from the beginning. The answer is that the need was always there. But the way we fulfill the need, both of connecting inner and of expressing our emuna and bitachon, was through karbanis. So the prayers are in the place of karbanis. That's what it says. Mamish. Right. People get tripped up. One second. But there were sacrifices bisman by Yesheni. And the answer is that like it was like our mitzvahs now. We do many mitzvahs. Thank God. But most people don't feel connected. You can put on tefillin and not feel connected. When they brought the korbanos bezman by Sheni, they didn't get that connection. And they needed to talk to God. Everyone needs to talk to God. Just because a kohen is doing that means the kohen did it for all of us. Bezman by Sheni, it worked. People were in a different place. We can identify. The world is changing. The collective consciousness of mankind changes the whole time. People have different ideas. Certain things resonate, certain things don't. Up until the end of Bayis Rishon, we were very spiritual. There were prophets amongst us, many prophets. Mamash, people that were divinely inspired. Men, women, there were miracles in the Beis HaMikdash, even though you only went there once a year or three times a year. And if you were not obligated to go, could be you went there twice in your lifetime. That was enough. Certain people, if they're very sensitive, if they see one miracle for certain people, it'll change them forever. Certain people, they need a miracle every day. We need a miracle every day. And God should give us because we need it. Amen. Because I had a miracle yesterday, so I was happy yesterday. Now I'm back to me. But there were more ruchniyazdik. After the Churban Bayis Rishon, there was a need. So the Chazal saw that it's going to take thousands of years until Mashiach is coming. But we need this connection, and we need a medium through which we have some power to change the world. So they gave the tefillah. Why am I saying all this?
Wait, slow back. They needed a reason?
They needed a substitute for the karbanis.
Okay.
Why am I saying all this? Because it comes out that during the times of the Second Temple, there was a Beis HaMikdash, but they already had to daven. It was like a lap.
Yeah.
So they had the karbanis, but it wasn't doing its job fully. So they had this and they had that. Makes sense. I'm speaking now on my own, that as we're entering the era of Mashiach, and the temple is going to be built, and we're going to start bringing karbanis. So it's going to be again. So what's going to happen? So we have to start going back to the way things were. How were things? There wasn't a formulation in prayer. People prayed when they wanted, how they wanted. We have to start going back to that within halacha. That's why I think that these halachas is mamish for our era. No, it's before we needed the siddur, when there were karbanis. There was always a mitzvah to pray. But there wasn't a fixed time. There wasn't a fixed text. So every now and then, whenever you decided, you spoke to God. Even though now we have a fixed time and siddur, when you add your own text, not every day, every now and then you add your own tefillah, you are already going back to the way that things were during the times of the first temple.
So it's a constant,
So I think one of the steps we need to take to get in sync with the era of Mashiach is to begin to add according to halacha. There's halachas. There's a whole seif in Shulchan Aruch. There's a whole sin in Shulchan Aruch. There's ways how to do it. We can't do it any way we want, but there's gevaldike rules. How, what, when, and where are we to add our own personal prayers? The advantage is both it makes you feel even more connected. No doubt, when you daven out of a siddur, it's harder to feel connected because it's not your book. It's not your words. I'm reading their words. When you add your own words, you feel more connected. So it makes you feel more connected. It also has the power, because if there's a specific thing that I need, even though all of my needs are included in the words of the Shemoneh Esrei, but it's not specified for me. It's generalized. Healing is a very general healing. But if there's a person, God forbid, that has a specific illness, or there's a person that has a specific business meeting, that's their parnosa keli, and they need for that meeting to go good.
Is that when you do it after the?
So let's start. So let's read the halachas. So says the Rebbe, im ratz alohayse b'chol bracha. If you want to add in any of the bracha ha'emtsa'ois of the 12 middle brachas, we don't add praise. We don't add praise. We only add requests. Why don't we add praise? Why can't I add my own praise to God?
Maybe because of the certain lashon that has that would make it not kosher to.
Why?
I don't know.
If I can make my own ask, I can make my own praise. Did someone ever praise you with good intent, and that praise really upset you?
Yeah, but we're not talking about a person, we're talking about God.
Okay, but look, first the concept. When would someone's praise be an insult?
When they don't understand it.
Let's say there's a person
that
that's...
When they don't understand the meaning, or you're, when they don't... Because it's a person, you can't really get your thoughts and your meaning.
Let me say it like this. I would pray someone sincerely. Not just to make them, I would sincerely pray someone when I think that that person went a little bit beyond their norm. So if you have a child, let's say, and the child comes back with a 65, and you praise them, so like this, if the child's capacity is to get a 60, and they came back with a 65, then they deserve a praise. If the child's capacity is to be a student, God gave them a good brain, and they can get 90, 100. And they come back with a 65 and you praise them.
That's an insult.
That's a big insult, because you're telling this child that I don't even believe in you. I believe that for you, this is good. When you underpraise, when you make someone's actions that for them was easy and they can do a lot more, when you make too big of a fuss of that, wow, you're making them into a retard. You're telling them that I think you're little. I think that this from you is a big thing. One sec.
No, I'm just thinking. Go ahead.
Try to make it real in your life.
Mm-hmm. Then anything you say to God, you're on.
That's a problem. Very good point. Okay, we're going to get to that question. King David says in Tehillim, I think it's Kapitel Nun Aleph, L'cha Dumia Tehillo. To you, silence is the praise. You're telling God that you're smart. So for a human being, smarts is a great thing. Being smart is a great thing. God is infinitely greater than smart. God needed to infinitely dumb himself down to fit into the category of smart. So when I'm praising God for anything, I'm insulting him.
But so the only way that we can understand any of it is by Tzimtzum.
By Tzimtzum, very good. And let me just add to that. And since God in the Torah referred to himself with certain attributes, so we can only praise him with terms that he called himself. And any term that he did not call himself, then we cannot praise him that way. So God says, Ani Hashem Rofecha. I'm God, I'm the doctor. So we can tell God, God, you're a good doctor. If God would not have called himself a doctor, then for God it's an insult. For an American Jewish non-religious boy, the biggest compliment, ooh, you're a doctor. For God, it's the biggest insult. And that's a good rule in life, to remember that.
What God didn't call himself?
So the Gemara gives a story, I don't remember it by heart, that there was someone that was, God had a miracle, and he wanted to daven. And he went into an abandoned building because he wanted to daven, he didn't want to get attention. He was a modest person. Elijah the prophet was there, and he wanted to hear this person davening. And boy, oh boy, did this guy praise God. Like we began, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanora, right? Kel Elyon. And he went on and on and on and on. And he finally finishes, he takes a step back, and he sees Elyon Novi. You know, he was a tzaddik. So Elyon Novi tells him, listen, I know you meant well, but you just insulted God. He says,
wow.
After my prayer? So that's what he told him. He told him that you added praises to God that the Torah doesn't refer to God like that.
Because it limits God.
Because every praise limits God. That's the challenge with God. We're talking to God. Which is parenthetically. So but when it comes to praising, same thing when it comes to thanking. You know, how would you feel if someone overly thanks you for a little thing that you did? It almost feels like someone is talking down to you. They're treating you or they treat you or they see you as a child. Because if I don't expect much of you, then I'm going to thank you. If I know that you're capable, I'll thank you. But over-thanking has to be commensurate to if you did something which was taka beyond what you normally do, then the thank you should be equal. So sometimes overthinking or overcomplimenting is a sign of disrespect. They don't mean it bad. It just means that the person who's offering that thinks little of you. Or they're b'chlal not thinking you. They're trying to manipulate you to do more. It's not a sincere, like, it's not sincere. But even if it's sincere, with our children also, we have to be careful not to overcompliment. In other words, the expectation is that our taka capable. So when they do good and they have good midas, don't overthink them. It's the norm. Imagine if a teenager is gonna walk to there, and you're gonna go, wow, you walked. That means you think your child is a retard. When a baby, which never walked in his life, he takes the first few steps, then you get all excited. Getting excited about something that is the norm is dumbing everyone down.
That's what they're doing to the society now.
Okay, but let me go back. So when it comes to praising God, when it comes to thanking God, we don't add anything.
Thanking as well.
By the way, there's plenty of thanks there. I'm not saying chas v'shalom not to think, but who was to determine the overthinking? So Chazal, this is how you think.
But can you do personal things? Just like you do, or no?
I think that, let's go. In the Shemona Esrei, halachically,
okay. No, only... you're just walking.
Say thank you. Thank God the whole day.
Not...
personal. Yeah, you can thank
personal,
God. Yeah.
Just not in the Shemona Esrei.
Because in the Shemona Esrei, your mom is supposed to be standing. It's a whole different connection.
Okay.
And here, don't forget, God is almighty. Let me ask you the
Emes. Don't forget about the
Shemona Esrei. I'll give you a fundraiser. And I'm sure everyone has an experience. If you go over to a person and you know that they can give you $1,000 and they won't feel it. The guy is a multimillionaire and they give you $18 and you thank them. What do you really mean? How do you feel? So God is not a multimillionaire. God is almighty. So you have to also understand, if you talk and believe God is almighty, I'm not saying God forbid not to thank God. But overthinking... So we're thinking three times a day. I acknowledge that my vision is from God and my hearing is from God and my also, and I thank God. But think greater of God. Just like God thinks greater of us, we should think greater of God. God expects from us, and we're limited. We can expect of God everything. God expects us to expect from him everything. Because he's God. Expecting less than that is disrespecting God.
But just to clarify, nothing wrong when you're just on your own words, not in Shemona Esrei. You can nothing thank wrong. Him for trivial things.
Mamish. And so can you praise him.
100%.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. 100%. In the Shemona Esrei. In the Shemona Esrei, we are only allowed to add in the asks.
Got it.
Only add to what?
In the 12 middle, today it's 13 middle ones.
In the asks. The
now, there are two options where to make that add. Where do you make that addition? Very interesting. So the Alter Rebbe says like this, that if, for example, someone knows a person who's sick, so either mevakesh olav rachm birchas refo'enu, in the blessing 4-4 you add, and we're going to learn, we'll continue next week exactly where, it's not so simple. We'll see where in that prayer itself do you add, but there you add. Or if you know a person that needs parnasa, including yourself, you ask God for parnasa in the blessing that he calls birchat hashanim, which is borchenu. And then there's option number two. And the option number two is that in the final of the 12 of asks, Shema Kirlenu, Shemeya Tefillah, there a person can ask of God anything that he wants.
So that's when we have our paper with our names or our lists or whatever. It's right after that.
So 1 second. Yes. And no, meaning that there is another place where you can ask.
All day.
No. There's another place in the Shemona Esrei. And I would argue that most people don't do it in either of these two. They do it at the end. At the end of the Shemona Esrei.
After the three steps.
Before the three steps.
Before the steps.
Very good. Right. But Mamash, not only before the three steps, before the final verse, before the three steps. The last words that we say before we take the three steps, that's from Nun Aleph. We say, Yiyu l'rotzin im rifi, v'hegin libel l'fanach Hashem sura v'geyali. We say that pasuk twice. We say that, and then we take three steps back. Before we say that verse, that's where people add the names. We'll continue a lot more next week.
I never learned that.
There, just a heads up, there you can talk as long as you want. Once you start adding words in the proper Shemoneh Esrei, you have to be a lot more careful. Because you're taka standing in front of God. So there's informal talk to God. God is also informal when you're walking. Thank you, God, for the parking lot. That's that's respectful in the informal context. But just like if you would be speaking to a human king, so even if he would be your friend, so there is how you speak to him as a friend, but if he's sitting in his office or a king on his throne room, you can be his best friend, you can be his child, you can be the mother of the king. There's a certain etiquette that's expected. In the Shemoneh Esrei, there is an etiquette that's expected, which is why do we have to get dressed nicely for davening? Are you kidding? God, no, God made me. Fine. If it's informal, when you're walking down, when you're jogging, you can also thank God. And that's nice. That's bringing God into your exercise. But to go into shul with your jogging clothing, that's already not respectful. As we would not go into an office to meet someone important that way. Nothing wrong. Everything has its time and place. So the more we get into the Shemoneh Esrei, the more rules we will have. But I think the closer we get to Mashiach, the more we have to do this. Because this is taka the way it used to be. It used to be this way. People had a lot more personal prayers then. We have to go back to that. They didn't even say the Shemoneh Esrei. Their Shemoneh Esrei, and it wasn't informal. They made it formal, intuitively. They said, no, now I'm going into God, as the king of the world, Melech HaOlam. And they would put on their nice garments. And they didn't have all of these rules, but they talked to God. So either, if you want to add it in the specific prayer, you can only add in a specific prayer the content of that prayer. So when I'm saying the bracha, Baruch Aleinu Parnasa, I'm not allowed to ask for healing there. I'm making a challenge. There's a seder. Even though God understands me. No, God, of course God understands me. Not now. Now be correct. If I want to ask God, if I mamish feel like I'm stuck, trapped somewhere, so then I should ask that in Re'eno Ve'onyeno. And specifically, God, me and you both know that this is where I'm trapped. I need you to set me free. Or in any other of, I'm clogged, I need more seichel, the hanishkan seichel. Not complaining, I'm losing my seichel. Don't complain to your friends, they can't help you. When you're davening, tell God, listen, God, my memory is going, help. Whatever, that's where you talk to God. And God will make a miracle for me. In Atochain and Adam Das. Depends how much, whether maybe Rafa'enu, I don't know, it's a good question. If you're losing memory, is that a healing? Or is that the...
Well, memory used to be good.
So then it's probably the Rafa'enu. But then...
Because I do pray for that.
Okay, so maybe you're right, maybe it's a good... But then I can claim that I never had a good memory. So that's, I never had that capacity. I need for God to open up new neurons in my brain. Atochain and Adam Das. So either you ask for the specific need connected to the blessing, and we'll continue next week exact, even there, not so pashut. There are many rules about it. Or in the blessing of Shemei Tefillah. Or later we're going to go to what you said. We'll get to that later. But in Shemei Tefillah, I'll tell you right away where. Before we say the words, Ki Ata Shemei Tefillah Skolpe. If you look inside the Siddur, there's a dot there. By Sfardim, by Ashkenazim. Means before the last few words of the prayer, there's a dot, period. You say it by that period.
That's what I was
and there saying. You can say, ask for anything you want, but even there's certain restrictions. The restriction there is mainly to be brief. More is less. Another human being, if I over-explain something to you, again, it means I think that you're retarded. Let me explain to you again. Why? The person understood already. Many kids get frustrated in the classroom. Teacher says, again, I understood it already. Don't make people dumb. Don't dumb people down. Say it clearly, explain it, and keep on going. Same thing with God. Over. Now, every prayer is a new time to ask. So you can ask that every time again.
Because it loses the power if you repeat it.
Okay, so it's in here to be brief. And that's these are the two places. In the bracha, or by Shemei Tefillah, And then, good, and the Alter Rebbe says, Kishuhu Maisev, when you add, begin the bracha as it's written. Begin the bracha, add your request towards the end. But never at the end, never at the end. You always have to say a few words of the Siddur before you say Baruch Atah Hashem. That means that you're sandwiching your personal request in middle of the Shemoneh Esrei, towards the end of that bracha. You got that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is the rule, and that will help us feel more connected to God, and that's going to help us bring into our world the miracle, let's call it, that we earned through emuna and bitachon that we expressed. That is the power of emuna and bitachon. Emuna and bitachon itself changes the world when we express it. Just emuna and bitachon. Not wishful thinking, like the Tzemach Tzadik says, think good and it will be good. And the Rebbe was celebrated this a lot.
Can you speak a little bit about women and like the institutionalized prayer? Because on one hand you're saying that the closer we get to Mashiach, the more it's about like saying your own words. And like 100 years ago, women were not praying for a seder.
The reason why women were not praying is a question mark. I want you to know. We spoke about this a few months ago. The Magen Avraham, one of the great halachic authorities, says that he thinks that the reason why women in Ashkenaz for a long time did not pray as they should, because according to halacha, women have to say Shemoneh Esrei. The Alter Rebbe says twice a day. Other people who don't go by twice a day say once a day. They're obligated like men. So he claims that the Moed Ani was the prayer. And the question everyone has on him is that the Moed Ani doesn't have the praising, asking, and thank you. At least that. That was the Anshe Knesset Sagdoyla. And the Moed Ani is just a thank you. We're not minimizing the thank you, but there's lacking feeling. Now, I can always challenge that. You have to find out which family. Certain families davened. Certain families davened.
The majority
of the Jewish people, sadly to say, I don't have to be recorded, we're not that observant. Generally.
Really?
Really.
This is my biggest challenge.
I was assuming that they were.
Part of the Jewish people were observant when God gave us the Torah. I think someone said that right now there's around 10% of Jews that are observant. We never had such a large percent ever since the times of Moses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We hear everywhere the opposite.
No. Someone made a study. It was like 4%. Bisman by Sheni for sure.
Wow.
Now most Yidden kept many mitzvahs. But for a person to say, at least to say, that I'm accepting upon myself the ganze maisa. The whole thing. Now we have Yetzer Hara. People always, I'm not saying this right or wrong, people have their own failings. But there's a big difference between a person saying, I accept the whole Shulchan Aruch. This mitzvah for me right now, I know it's wrong. That's different. That person is not purposefully breaking it. The person says that I don't see, I can't do it. It's too hard for me. Hopefully God will understand, but I know it's wrong. That's an observant person with a failing. Speaking of people that concluded, no, it's not needed anymore.
So the Rabbi's wish and Shani, not everybody was going to the Beis HaMikdash.
No, mamash. They were very spiritual. And the more spiritual they were, mamash like today, the more they felt, I don't need it. I really feel connected to God. And God is doing miracles to me. And I'm thanking Him for that. So I'm not keeping Shemitah. I'm not keeping Shabbos, God forbid. Yeah, they were not that observant. They didn't keep the majority of the Jewish people did not keep the mitzvahs. I have to be careful how you say it, the way the Rebbe says it. We always kept the mitzvahs. We believed in God. We did bris milah. Certain mitzvahs we always kept. Some people pray, some people pay. I mean, it depends. Collectively, we kept the mitzvahs.
Pay to pray.
Some people do both today. You pay to pray. But in Brazil, they used to say, there was a line in Brazil, that you guys pray, we pay. So I pay, and you pray, and together, God bless all the Jewish people. But we are becoming more and more observant. Mamash, which is amazing.
And going back to the emunah and bitachon, so how do you enlarge the bitachon? The more you have emunah, because you can't really control your bitachon.
Yeah, your emunah is so much easier. Bitachon is to feel tranquil. It's very hard.
So I
shared over here. I think that reading certain things every day that speak about bitachon, during those moments, it's easier to experience it.
I don't know what certain things you're talking about.
There is a certain passage or something that speaks about bitachon. To verbalize that I believe that God will make it good for me the way I want it to be good, not because God owes it to me, but because God is kind.
And you said when you actually feel that and experience that, and you're creating that keli for God to bring that?
That's what Chassidus explains the whole prayer.
Wow.
That if not, I mean, these are the big questions. That's the Chassidic way of answering it. And if a person will have real bitachon and emunah, then their prayers will always be answered. So when a tzaddik prays, it mamish works. What's the trick of the tzaddik? It's all God. Because the tzaddik mamish experiences, that person needs it for shalema, the tzaddik experiences real bitachon, that person will be well. The way the Rebbe spoke to people, no, that person, you'll be well. You don't need that. He experienced such a high level of bitachon, that bitachon brought it into the world.
And you don't have to be a tzaddik to do that.
No, the Rebbe said that. All the tzaddikim said that. But it's hard. Tzaddikim also had it hard. No one gave it to them easy. But they got there. They got to a certain madrega.
But you're saying that ordinary people can also get
there. Everyone has it, because what changes the world is God. Of course. I mean, it goes without saying. There's only one koyach. And the emunah and bitachin is the keli through which the blessing, it's a new blessing, comes into the world. So come just Chanukah. That's Chanukah. Chanukah Sabbath is Chanukah's Beis Hamikdash. The Rebbe, when the Rebbe was into Mashiach campaign, the Rebbe wanted people to build. Always. So ironic. Remember when the Rebbe in the 80s, 87, there was a certain year, the Rebbe made a year to build. And the Rebbe said in front of people are asking me, the Rebbe says, we are celebrating the imminent coming of Mashiach. So why are you building in goals? The Rebbe says, this is the way we bring Mashiach. By physically taking another corner in the world. What happened? There's a little piece of land. And what do you do over here? You designate this to be a Yiddish home. This is Mamish Mashiach. So there's another place. There's Shabbos here, and there's kosher here, and there's mitzvahs here, and there's Torah here.
Interesting.
That's like Chanukah Sabbath is to learn Torah, because the whole kavan of a house is it should be filled with Yiddishkeit. That's how you inaugurate a house. So we don't have karbanis, but we want to get close to God. So you build something new. You right away use it for a mitzvah. You put up a mezuzah, the whole Jewish home is a... And if that's the case, they never celebrate. The bigger the house, the more important. You want to make more of the world a home for God. Not the way other people think, let's live in a little hut. You want to live in a bigger home. You'll have a double-sized home, I have rachmanas on you, but a triple-sized home, then there'll be a bigger part of the world that will house God.
But the Mikdash was supposed to build it exactly the way he wants.
The Beis HaMikdash will have to be exactly the way he wants, but every Jewish home is a minor Beis HaMikdash. So there is a collective Beis HaMikdash, and we need to have, every Yid has to have their own Beis HaMikdash. And that means, ideally, being married and building a home. That's the Beis HaMikdash, that's what God wants. Like the Beis HaMikdash was a little bit messy. The Beis HaMikdash, this home is amazing. But I'm saying it's not that, to say is that it's not a type of Kedusha that makes you feel intimidated. No, okay, you'll live here. In a place where you feel comfortable. But what's a Yiddish home is a home that God wants. This is exactly what God wanted. He built the whole world for this. Should be a Yid, get married, have kids.
Amen.
Have the mess, have the noise, have the good, have the challenge, have sfarim, have a kosher kitchen. That's it. That's
guests.
What God wants.
Guests.
To have guests, and to learn Torah. Be the yug this. Hashem should help us that the Mashiach is mamash coming.
Yeah,
it's a special moment now. Amen.